When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout. As we use the international break to take stock, look ahead to Fantasy Premier League Game Week 5 and try and pinpoint those under the radar gems to help you climb up the rankings. We'll do this via the goals and assists imminent tables, which use the Fantasy Football Scout members area stats to try and predict future returns. We'll see how we got on last week. We'll review the latest stats ahead of Game Week 5 and we'll see how our teams got on in Game Week 4 and also our early transfer thoughts. Maybe some injuries in international break will change our minds with those initial thoughts. Mine certainly have while we're preparing to go on air. In addition, we'll take any questions at the end of the stream, so have a think about those in the live chat and post your questions in the live chat at the end. My name is Joe, and joining me to unearth some under-the-radar gems is Tom Freeman, Fantasy Football Scouts Deputy Editor. Tom, welcome. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay, thanks, Joe. Bit quieter than usual this week with the international break, which is nice, actually. Gives us a chance to kind of reflect on the first four game weeks and then now look ahead to the next phase. I think the next international break is Game Week 9. So, I'm not quite sure where I'm going to go with my team this week. Okay. So, hoping to find some inspiration on this stream.
Okay. Welcome those who join us in the live chat. Before I welcome you all by name, I just want to alert you. We had a few comments about Tom's microphone in the last episode. He is due to get a new microphone. It didn't arrive in time for today's show, but it will be next week. So we're going to have a Goals Imminent as well show next week ahead of Game Week 5. We'll have much firmer plans for what we're doing after the international break. The international matches are finished. Also, we'll have some more stats with you. We'll probably bring back some of the ultimate differential stats as well. Also, my mic sort of broke just before we came on air. So hopefully that holds up. The little lead at the back has sort of snapped a bit. So hopefully there. So if I do go silent at all, do let me know and I'll try and jiggle the microphone lead in there. Let's just crack on. Welcoming everyone in the chat. So we've got Gary, Brian, Charlie, GEFPL, Leo is good, G-Wiz and many more. Thanks for joining us. Do press that like button. Do have a think of some questions towards the end. We'll have a look back at our Game Week 4 a bit towards the end and look ahead to Game Week 5 and leave some questions there. Leave a question mark as well so we can see them clearly. So it was you and David last week. And, in my absence, you did rather well. So we'll put the goals imminent table that you put on. I'll put the names up and see how they get on. Watkins, blank. Neil Mapei, he's going to blank, obviously. Fernandez, blanked for Chelsea. I was mocked for touting Wolves players. Kuna, goal. Eze at Palace, goal. Bruno Fernandes, blank. Neto, another Wolves player. We were mocked for two assists. A year too late, I think, for our teams. Jackson, blanked famously because he's in many teams. Silva, blanked, sadly, for Wolves. And Rashford got a goal as well. So we've got five returns. I know a couple of those are assists, but five returns out of those. So, out of all of those names there, I mean, who was unlucky not to score and who's justifiably a blank?
Let's have a look. Well, Jackson, I mean, I don't think you can say he was unlucky. He had a great chance, didn't he, towards the end of the game, which was from a Sterling cutback, I think, which he blazed over. I think he's been sold by 200,000 managers since that match now. So people are losing faith in him. I think the fact he got another yellow card didn't help. But he's just lacking that bit of composure at the moment, isn't he? I think his goal conversion rate is 6.7% this year.
Yeah.
Last year in La Liga, funnily enough, I think it was just over 29%. Mm. But it's obviously he hasn't played that many matches at the top level, and we're still kind of figuring out about Jackson. Personally, I think we've probably got to keep the faith a little bit longer, just given the fixtures that Chelsea have got. They've still got four good fixtures against poor defences coming up, mm-hmm. or reasonably poor defences. And so, yeah, I mean, he's the kind of the standout name on there. Yeah. I think Enzo in the same match as well. He had a few shots in that one. He created quite a few chances. He was probably their best player. But a lot of his efforts were from range. They were from outside the box, I think all four of them, actually. Mm-hmm. So, the table obviously mm-hmm. did very well last week with the Wolves players coming in. Rashford mm-hmm. Against Man United. We thought once he's back on the left, he would pose more of a goal threat. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see. I like to see the Wolves players there because they're exactly the sorts of players that you put up on these tables and everyone laughs. But then look at them. Now, I'm not saying people should immediately invest in Wolves players because you've got to look at long-term fixtures and who they're playing against, whether they're likely to replicate that. But it shows that in certain types of matches, they could be handy enablers. So I'm quite pleased with those. A lot of people, Bruno Fernandes has gone down in price. Overnight, surprised me. Manchester United have got some of the best fixtures coming up in the short term, next three or four game weeks. And he looks prime for points, hopefully. And we saw that those who jettisoned Rashford the week before, I hesitate to use the word punished, but it was a good match for him.
I think Fernandes definitely had an off day. I don't think he was very good at Arsenal at all. No. But I think over the first three games, he has looked good. You know, you look at his underlying numbers, they're all really positive. And I think the one kind of promising thing from that match was Højlund coming off the bench. Because I thought his physicality, his hold-up play was really good. He's only played 20 minutes or so for them. Yeah. So I think if you're a Fernandes and Rashford owner like me, after the Brighton game, the fixtures obviously get really good again. So, I'm content to keep both for now.
Yeah, definitely. I missed out on some points. I went for Sterling and I got rid of Martinelli because I just looked at the long-term fixtures. I didn't want double Arsenal attack in the next few, but I thought I could probably do Manchester United double attack for a little while, but one of those will possibly go at some point, but yeah, I'm happy to hold it at the moment. But yeah, Martinelli by coincidence had one of his best games.
Jesus is back now, isn't he? And back on the score sheet, and that normally signals an upturn in output from Martinelli. Yeah. But it is hard to hold two Arsenal midfielders right now because the fixture that given Spurs, who have got Sheffield United next, and Chelsea are still on this good run, Man United's good fixture. It's hard to fit everybody in, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I felt safe, even though I thought there might be goals in this game. I felt safe with Martinelli not getting a haul because he was up against Wan-Bissaka, who I frequently remember last season got the better of very good players on the left. I remember Matoma in particular suddenly looked bang average against Manchester United. Yeah. Looked great before, great afterwards. Wan-Bissaka just got the better of him. And I think Wan-Bissaka probably helped Martinelli not get so many points that way round.
I saw Odegaard at the weekend. Yeah. And obviously he popped up with the goal. And you look back on it and you think, did I need to make that move? Well, but we sometimes play the fixtures, don't we? Yeah. And that's just the way it goes sometimes.
I think if you went for a Chelsea, a Sterling, Madison, these players that have got reasonable fixtures, good form, it's one of these things we do. But yeah, that's FPL, isn't it? You're always going to remove players and score points as part of it. And the winning FPL is all about timing that right. Let's have a look at the assists imminent table. More success. So we've got on the goal front, just two assists. I say just two assists. It's pretty good from the 10 names. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 goals and two assists. I mean, this is really good. So on the assist imminent table last week, we said Saka would get assist, and he did. Gross didn't, not for want of trying. Bernardo Fernandes was probably asked to do probably a bit more with Eriksen in the side, maybe. I don't know. Manchester United fans might better tell me a bit more about that. But yeah, we've spoken about Fernandes. Jensen got a goal. We put it on the assist imminent table. He's got a goal for Bournemouth. Enzo Fernandez, we've spoken about, his assist imminent. Son with three goals. Now, if we'd have known that he was going to play up front, then that probably wouldn't be drastically surprising. But the fact he was playing up front, it just shows. Can you see him playing Richarlison as a striker again?
He does like Richarlison, but it's going to be hard to drop Son from that role after a hat-trick. But you have got versatile forwards there. I mean, Richarlison can play where Solomon played. He can play on the left if he wants to keep Son there. He's got Brennan Johnson who can play in all across the front line there. I think the makeup of their attack could kind of vary depending on the opponent going forward. I think Postecoglou is somebody who might move things around a little bit. The problem is that Son looks so much better as a striker than he does as a winger.
Yeah.
Because he's been really, really wide in the previous games. I think he had three shots in the box in the first three game weeks. So predicting a haul here was very hard to call. I think Neil had in his predicted lineup that he was going to play through the middle. So some people who did make that move, they might have been basing it on that. I read that game completely wrong. I thought that all the having watched Villa against Burnley the weekend before, I thought most of our threat came from the wide areas. So I was thinking about Son last week, but as a wide player, I'm thinking, oh, we might get some joy there, but it was actually through the middle. It shows that it's very hard to read games this early in the season with limited data and teams are still settling. Burnley have got an influx of new players. But, fixtures, good Sheffield United game for them next, isn't there? And then they've got, I think it's Arsenal and Liverpool. I'm probably not going to go there. I'm going to leave it for probably 3 weeks and then have another look in game week eight. But I can see why people are intrigued by it. Are you tempted at all, Joe?
By Son? Yeah, I could be. I've got lots of money in my midfield and I've got 1.2 million in the bank. Which was another factor in why I moved Martinelli down to Sterling, because I just wanted to get a little bit more money for this kind of thing. I can easily afford Son, but I want to wait. I saw lots of people have he's gone up in price. Lots of people have got him on already. I mean, I think that's crazy. I've been talking a lot on social media about early price moves. Half our team, most good players are playing for their country. Son is playing, for his country. He's a pivotal player there. I mean, what if he gets injured? What if he just comes back completely knackered? We've got all these other players in South America as well. I can't remember who's playing in Bolivia, a million feet above sea level or something like that. And I'm
Just going back to Son. I mean, I think he plays twice, or he should play twice. So you've got to get through 180 minutes now. Yeah. Both of the games are UK based. He's playing against Wales at the Millennium Stadium, and then I think even the game against Saudi Arabia, I think it's at St James's Park.
Yeah.
So he hasn't got the travel, but he's still got to get through two games, and he's a player that obviously has picked at knocks in the past. We'll talk about it later. We've already seen Evan Ferguson pull out. We've seen Trent Alexander-Arnold pull out. We've seen Jack Grealish pull out of internationals. I think it's too risky going early personally, and for my approach. It's definitely a wait and see, because there's a big injury to one of your players. It completely changes the dynamic and the thought process about what you're going to do. So I'm happy. I don't think the price changes will be that volatile either. I think it'll settle down a bit now. And then maybe pick up again, maybe next Thursday, something like that.
I mean, given what you were saying, Newcastle game, that Saudi Arabia game, international game. I mean, I think just people are losing their heads over this, getting Son in. They're going to get caught out, I think, by that. As Dennis Robertson says in the live chat, you tell them, Joe, utter madness doing transfers early. I do think there is exceptions to it. If you desperately want that player and you haven't got enough money and you're going to be priced out of that move and you desperately want to do it and you want to run that risk, just do that. But people are doing it to catch the price rise because they think they might need it later. Last season, we didn't. And we had loads more premiums. We had Kane in the team. This season, we've only got two. Salah is...
We might only have one
because Salah is subject to a reported £215 million bid. Which will certainly...
I thought you were going to say billion then.
Billion? Well, it's going to certainly test Liverpool's resolve.
Yeah, yeah.
For a player like that. So, and they've got to certainly their owners might decide they have attackers. I mean, Salah, I mean, is he replaceable? Of course he isn't, but 215 million is pretty hefty. I don't want to wildcard now, but I have experimented looking at what potential wildcard in game week 9. I can easily get Salah and Haaland because you've got all these bargain players. I mean, and another one, Archer's just emerged as well, 4.5. If he goes up 0.2, 0.3, still affordable. But that was my thoughts on it. Lots of people disagree. It's very divisive, as I found out.
Yeah, well, and I think as well, it depends if you're just in a regular game week but if you've got two transfers then and your team is looking good and you make the transfer and then you've got one back for an emergency. But the international break is different for me.
Yeah.
Because you've got all these players flying all over the world and a lot can happen. And that's why I don't feel so comfortable with 2 weeks and so many games all over the world.
No.
Some people will risk it and get away with it. Others will risk it and probably get burnt a bit by it. That's the risk you take, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, most of us have not a good bench in terms of all the players, but they've got at least the first sub is good. You've got the likes of Archer there. Or you might have, for example, Bayer at Burnley's 4 million, plays Nottingham Forest. Now, Nottingham Forest are definitely better this season, I think. But you know, there's still a possibility of a clean sheet there. It's not totally out of the blue. So, you know, there is plenty of good value to be had there for our benches.
Yep.
Yeah. So did pretty well. So will we do well this time around? So it's early days. I mean, half these players are probably going to get injured during the international break. but this is the goals imminent table for game week 5. So hold on to your hats. Here are the players. So Jackson is now, I'm going to start with him. He is top here. Now, he's had 7 big chances, and a lot of people will go, look at his XGR, isn't that great? But 6 chances missed. So, but he's had all those chances, and he's fluffed a lot of them, bar one. And that was...
He couldn't miss that one, could he?
No.
Really?
No. I thought he couldn't miss this, get me a lovely Sterling assist, but he didn't. He's had 5 shots on target. Well, that's not bad. But then when you look, he's had 15 shots, 14 inside the box. He was expected to score at least 2 more goals than he has. Because I'm not familiar with him, he hasn't got years of Premier League experience. He's not the sort of players you would look at, like, say, Watkins, for example. If I saw these stats with Watkins Gabriel Jesus or someone like that, someone who's got a pedigree as an FPL asset, I would go fair enough. But, this guy could be a Nathan Redmond. I don't know. I mean, maybe not. I mean, what's your take? Redmond or Ibrahimovic?
Well, can we go somewhere in the middle?
He's in the middle, definitely. He's definitely in the middle.
I mean, it's one of those where we made a decision, or I did in game week 1, to get him, and we didn't really have loads to go off. I thought he looked pretty good in pre-season. He scored a few goals. I didn't watch Villarreal last year, but from looking at scout reports... that I think Mark in the office wrote, stats and stuff like that. And it all seemed, you know, you're wary of the sample size with this because he hasn't, like you say, he hasn't got 2 or 3 years which we can kind of gauge his impact on. It's quite a short burst of scoring. A lot of the Villarreal fans, I actually was looking into it earlier this week, and they said before this run of goals last year, He's showing what a lot of people are thinking now, where his first touch isn't great. He's not composed. I'm willing to give it Bournemouth, Villa, Fulham and Burnley. I think I'm willing to give it that because I do value my strikers getting chances. At least it's infuriating to watch. Absolutely, like it was holding Darwin last year for a few weeks, maybe a bit longer in my case. But they are getting the chances. I think Chelsea obviously had a bit of an off day on Saturday. They created a bit. They just maybe didn't create enough clear-cut chances. But where do you go from Jackson if you do want to sell him? And I mean, do you go for somebody like Alvarez, even though you know Champions League?
Yes.
I mean, I guess they've got Champions League kicking in, but he does seem like he's going to start most games without De Bruyne there at the moment. So he's an option. I suppose somebody like Awoniyi... But yeah, I'm probably going to keep the faith a bit longer. But it sounds to me like you're potentially thinking of getting him out, Joe.
of get what of, sorry of getting Jackson out.
Oh, Jackson, yeah.
I've never gone in.
Oh, yeah, isn't he? Oh, he isn't even in the team. You start. You start with Pedro, then you move to.
Let's bring it in now. I moved to Evan Ferguson. So, and now, Tom, are you familiar with the film Usual Suspects?
Yeah, but I haven't seen that in ages. I did when I was younger.
There's a great line in it. What was the greatest trick the devil pulled? Convincing the world he didn't exist. And that is Evan Ferguson is Kaiser Sose. Yeah. He is the devil. I've been listening and watching content for the last week, and I've watched it in the last 2 days after his hat trick. And still people are saying, not quite an FPL asset yet. Now, I know he's on injury break for Ireland at the moment. I mean, he walked off fine from the mat, so it doesn't look potentially serious. It could be his knee, so that could be an international injury. It could be, it could be a bit more serious. But nevertheless, he scored 4 goals already. And I mean, even I saw a top 10. Have you got any of these top 10 scoring players? It stopped at 25. And I thought, oh, they're going to mention Evan Ferguson. Oh, no, he's on. Oh, we mentioned Saka, who's got 25 points, but we won't mention Evan Ferguson, who's got 25. He's the devil. He's convinced everyone. He doesn't exist.
I think this is where sometimes fans get a bad rep from the club because they're sometimes too close to it. I can remember John Lundstrom when he emerged, a lot of Sheffield United fans were saying, don't go near him, he's not nailed. Whereas people who maybe didn't have as much knowledge against Sheffield United were like, he's 4 million, he's played in
Brighton. Yeah.
I think this is why Brighton, for you, it's your team, Joe. You know. I mean, we obviously had a bit of a leak, didn't we, in game week 3 that he was going to start, which I think...
We had a full-on leak. De Zerbi said he's going to start.
He said we're going to play. So that's when you made your move.
So as a Pedro owner, I immediately thought, well, look, I'm going to get a game out of him here. I actually don't mind the fixtures, and I thought, he's either going to start and do well.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Brighton are really attacking side. So if he comes on for Welbeck at the 60th, 70th minute, I'm going to get 20 to 30 minutes out of him in a very attacking side. So I'll take that. Or he doesn't show up at all, in which case I've got like a lot of us, we've got likes of Archer. And so if he hadn't shown up this week, I'd have got Archer's points, and Archer's going to chip away, I think. So,
it's an inspired move. I just hope that this international injury is exactly that, and you can benefit and get a bit more from him, because he was obviously great on against Newcastle, wasn't he, on Saturday evening? These are the kind of moves which I love making people make. I was one of the sheep who followed the Sterling crowd. Yeah. That doesn't really inspire me. It's the people who brought in players like Ferguson and so on last week.
Well, that's it.
That interests me.
For me, this is, it's a Chris Wood moment. When Chris Wood got a haul against Wolves, I think it was, and I'll always remember that, although I might have got the opposition wrong. But nevertheless, it's these moments you live for. But nevertheless, so Ferguson, the Kaiser Sose, who's convinced everyone he doesn't exist, third best minutes, non-penalty XGI out of all players. All players, that is. So I keep hearing these stats, other people on other content, they're saying these stats saying, Mbomo's got the best XGI, blah, blah, blah. By minutes so far, so it's the X minutes is the issue. But if he's in a really attacking side, I prefer 30 minutes for Ferguson than Jackson, who can't hit a barn door for 90 minutes.
I kind of presumed he was in your team, because I didn't see your team last week, Joe. So that's my excuse anyway. Yeah. But I think we can safely say you're not bringing him in. So should we move on to somebody else?
I won't. Brighton and Brentford have the best attacks this season in terms of XGI, by the way. So a Brentford player very much should be on the radar. I don't have Mbomo. So there's me going, ha, 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 look at me with Ferguson. But I don't have Mbomo, so the devil giveth and the devil giveth taketh away. Watkins is next on the list. Get to your team, Aston Villa. So four chances missed, four big chances, all missed, three shots on target. He's had 10 shots, nine inside the box. Good stats, but a bit like Jackson, he's had big chances and he's missed a lot of them. With Watkins, I don't mind that because he'll get them. Or do you, as a Villa fan, see something different? Because people are getting rid of Watkins.
Yeah, no, I mean, as a team, we struggled massively on Sunday. I mean, it was Trent's best game of the season. And it's no surprise that when he plays well, Liverpool play well. He had a bit of a different role at the weekend. He looked like a bit of a centre-back at times, he tucked in. But we nullified him so well last year that I think Klopp tweaked his role for this game and it really paid off. It was brilliant. In terms of Watkins, he had just one chance, but he didn't really see much of the ball at Liverpool. He's only got one goal in his last 11 league games. But honestly, I'm not seeing that much wrong with the performances. No? He's still getting the chances. Yeah. And I think that a lot of people are going to be looking at Villa in game week eight when our fixtures turn for the better. They're on a really good run then. I think people like Diaby, Alex Moreno, people will be looking at if he's fit. But I think for Watkins, I think if I owned him, I would just hold him now because I don't think Palace at home is a bad game for him.
No.
I think play Brighton and someone else. But then the good fixtures come, and I think people are going to be looking at Watkins then. And I honestly think a goal is. I think he'll probably score in game week five. Yeah. It feels like something's coming soon. He's not on international duty or anything like that, so he'll be well rested. I think he's a fine hold, despite being a bit frustrating. Although he has returned in three out of four game weeks, hasn't he? So it's not the end of the world.
Definitely. I mean, Enzo Fernandez, we've sort of mentioned him already, but just for the sake of this, he's had two big chances, fluffed them both. Just two shots on target out of 11 shots. And I think that tells the story with him. He's not an attacking midfielder, but he can be attacking. And so he is being attacking in this Chelsea game. It's not a role he's necessarily famous for. And the stats prove that. Lots of shots, but barely hitting the target.
And a lot from long range as well. Yeah. You know, you can tell his position, he's a bit deeper.
Yeah.
And as Chelsea get more desperate in games, which they have been in a few times, he's going to be shooting from range a bit more. I don't mind him for 5 million because he creates quite a lot of chances as well. But, I don't think anybody would be looking at him right now anyway.
No. Bruno Fernandes, he's had three big chances, missed two of them, got a goal, four shots on target, have 13 shots. Five inside the box. So similar tale, but a bit better, Enzo Fernandez, in the he's getting a lot of shots, but a lot from long range as well. But we know he can put them away. I mean, you've mentioned before, you know, both have, that we're not worried about him at the moment. Got a good run coming up. He's a hold.
Yeah, penalties.
Yeah.
Set more of a prominent play on set pieces with Luke Shaw as well, I think, although Eriksen is in the team at the moment, but we don't know how they'll line up after the international break. So, he's definitely a hold for me. I think he'll do well over the next kind of five games.
Okay. And then we've got this nice block of players that people will laugh at, but like last week, they'll score or assist. Ayew at Crystal Palace, 5.5. Perhaps not getting the minutes. There's a bit of choice up front for Crystal Palace at the moment, but he's had a couple of big chances, missed them both, three shots on target, but 12 shots, 11 inside the box. So that's a bit better. That's what you want to see. So that indicates that the goals will come if he gets those minutes, if he can be on the pitch, 11 out of 12 shots all inside the box. He's just the close range guy, and that's good. That's good.
More shots in the box than Eze as well. If you're looking down further that table, who's got the threat. But again, the big chances, what is it? Eze hasn't had any, and Ayew's had two.
There we go. Kuna Wolves again is there. Three big chances. Has scored at one goal. Bear in mind, this table, once you score two goals, you're off the table in a good way, which is why we're getting lots of people saying, what about Awoniyi? I guess Ferguson would be in that as well. They're not on it because they're on other tables to show that they're really good at scoring. These are the ones, the under the radar ones. Kuna at Wolves is a classic example of that. Three shots on target, but 10 shots, seven inside the box. This is good. These are good stats. Kuna, 5.5, I think is a nice enabler for when Wolves fixtures improve. Dan Juma at Everton, four big chances, three of those missed, six on target, 14 shots in total, nine inside the box. These are great figures. for here. Once again, Dan Juma, I don't know his Premier League pedigree because he doesn't have it, but could be amazing. Well, yeah, could be awful.
He hardly played on loan at Spurs last year at all. Yeah. I like him. I put him in the differentials a couple of weeks ago, and it didn't pay off. But he actually looked a bit of a threat against Sheffield United. He got the goal. I think that Everton, everybody's pretty down on them right now, but they've got Beto who's come in who looks like he'll be a focal point for them when Calvert-Lewin isn't available. Uh-huh. They've got McNeil coming back. They've got Harrison coming back. Game week 7, they play Luton and then they play Bournemouth, two home games in a little block. And I think as a differential pick there, those two home fixtures, he could be, you know, this is a player that's done it at Champions League level before. He's not a poor player. So I don't mind that kind of punt for a couple of weeks from, I think it's game week 7.
Okay. Eze, next time they mentioned him, hasn't missed. He's had one big chance and he hasn't missed it. He scored from that. Shots on target, 5. 19 shots, a hell of a lot of shots, but just 9 inside the box. So 10 shots from outside the box is a lot. So that indicates, you know, whilst it might look good, a lot of those shots, they're far less likely to result in a goal. But nevertheless, Eze, a great pick. I mean, this has sheer shot volume. This reminds me that those figures there remind me of Coutinho in Liverpool. He would put away, sometimes he would appear on this table and it would be something like 15, 20 shots. And then you would look and it would be well under half, maybe a third inside the box. Most of those at long range. So not comparing them as players as such, you know, how they play, but there is a similarity there.
Yeah, they're central to their teams. Coutinho was at Liverpool and Eze is now. Sorry, I think I said before that he hadn't had a big chance. I was reading the wrong column. He's had one big chance.
Yeah, but he scored for that.
I think he obviously scored at the weekend, I think, with his 18th shot. And he looked good in that game. He should have won a penalty in the first half. Mm. He could have scored in added time too, as well as second. Mm. Fixtures are pretty good for Palace over the next four. So yeah, I think if you kept the faith with Eze, benefited from his points against Wolves, and I'd hold him now for a bit longer, I think.
Anthony's next on the list. I don't think people can go there. He's just been axed from his international side for other reasons, and it remains to be seen whether he'll keep getting picked. Who knows? Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to skip over him. And then move on to Rashford, a better Manchester United option, being sold still. Well, probably less so now he's scored, but the fixtures, but he certainly was ahead of the weekend. Three big chances, missed them all, 4 shots on target, but he's had 14 shots, 12 inside the box. So this is great for, because he has been playing as a centre forward, not as effective as you can see by those shots on target and getting a lot of shots inside the box. So well, we want him on the left, and as you mentioned, they've got striking options now. So Rashford, it's definitely a hold if he's playing on the left.
Yeah, absolutely. I think since he switched position back to his preferred role on the left, he's got a goal and 2 assists in 2 games. So,
brilliant.
Yeah. Him and Fernandes, I think, what is it? Game week 6, it's Burnley, Palace, Brentford, Sheffield United. Yeah. It's a great little run, isn't it? So more than happy to keep doubled up on them.
I mentioned Brighton being and Brentford being the most attacking side in terms of expected goals this season. But also I noticed that Brighton are in the bottom 4 when it comes to expected goals conceded. The fourth worst, I think it is. Around that anyway. I would lump Brighton into that as well in terms of their defence, to say that's a good fixture for the Manchester United attackers. Less so for the likes of Harry Maguire. They're going to have a torrid time, but your attackers might do well. Let's move on to the assists imminent table. Okay, Enzo Fernandez is there again. He's top. And this is I like to see this. So he's doing well in the goals imminent. Huge amount of shots. Because it's not, you know, he's not a striker, so a lot's off target there. But he's 11 chances, taken 12 corners, 5 successful crosses as well. Not bad for someone we really considered to be a defensive midfielder, really. So, 5 million. Still an option, I think. Well, I think we've spoken about him and that, you know, his enabler potential. Next name, Pascal Gross, 16 chances created, 17 corners. Like Evan Ferguson, he's convinced us all he doesn't exist because no one's going for him. But he has scored. He's had 8 successful crosses. He should have got at least an assist more. At least an assist and a fifth of an assist on top of that, whatever that means. He has a great record against Manchester United. Keep going back to, I think it was a year or two ago, where Brighton lost 1-0 or something. 3 bonus points went to Pascal Gross, or the losing side. And that, you know, when that happens, it's rare, but you know that player's had a good game. But he has got a good scoring and assist record against Manchester United. So just putting that out there for a differential. Jensen at Brentford, another differential. He got off the mark with a goal last week. 8 chances, great assist potential, 9 corners. Brighton and Brentford, the most attacking sides at the moment. Small sample, but at the moment. Jensen only 5.4, 8 chances created, 9 corners, a goal, 7 successful crosses and an assist. People probably won't go there because maybe they got Mbeumo. Maybe they don't need to as well. We've got piles of cash floating around our teams at the moment. But nevertheless, I think he is a useful enabler. They got a tough fixture coming up. Newcastle, isn't it? Game week 5.
St. James's Park, yeah. Although, may, you know, you would probably back them to score in that game, I think. Maybe it's not such a bad pick.
No, couldn't be, yes. Because if they're against Dan Byrne and such, then yes. Bruno Fernandes, we mentioned as well. Goals imminent. He's on the assist imminent as well. 14 chances created. That's a joint second on this table. 14 corners. He has scored. He has assisted. He's had 4 successful crosses. Should have gotten assist more over the last 4. Spoken at length about him. He's a hold. And Son is next. 9 chances created. This is slightly skewed because he's been on the left, but now, as you said, he's been through the middle. 9 chances created. He's still got, according to this, assist potential, but that's probably based on the first 3 rather than being as a striker. So it's hard to know what to judge by those. Probably not much, but nevertheless, just for sake of completing it, he's had 1 successful cross, 3 goals, not in playing in this usual role. And no corners. They're pretty meaningless, these stats for Son, because they relate to a different position. But it does show that he's rubbish at crossing. 1 successful cross. So he is not as effective on the left. Eze, you've spoken about 16 corners. You're speaking about his goal threat. 16 corners, 13 chances created, 10 successful crosses. Let that sink in. Son, 1 successful cross. Eze, 10. So very, very strong assist potential. I think could get a return out of him game week 5. Kulusevski, also not so good at the crossing. 1 successful cross, 7 chances created. He scored pretty middling. People probably just justifiably aren't going to go with Kulusevski when you've got Son and Maddison.
Exactly. I think he's a decent player. He showed in that first season when he came in, he was excellent, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But because of Madison's impact, and then Son at the weekend, just nobody's going to go.
Have you haven't got Madison or Son, or you have one of them?
No, I've got neither.
Right. Good. Because not good as in you missed out point, but good as in you could get one because they have it. Are you tempted to get 1 ahead of game week 5, given that they have pretty bad fixtures game week 6 and 7? But if you were, which one would you get, Madison or Son?
Firstly, I don't think I will. I mean, we're saying this on the Tuesday. There's still a long way to go. Thoughts change. If deadline day was today, I wouldn't bring a Spurs midfielder in. I'm not sure if now is the right time to do it, given the next 3 fixtures. I think last week was probably the time that if I was going to do it, it was then with the trip to Burnley, potentially the week before that with Bournemouth. If I had to pick one now, I would pick Madison, but only because of that uncertainty over Son, where we don't know if he's going to be a week in, week out player who's going to play through the middle.
Yeah.
And I think for 9.1 million, I want to know where he's going to play.
Yeah.
If he goes back to the left and Brennan Johnson goes through the middle, or if he decides to give Richarlison a home game to try and get his confidence up through the middle against Sheffield United, I don't want Son if he's on that left. No. He can return. He can return from there, of course. Mm. You know, he could get a brace. He could get a hat trick. But generally, I think from what we've seen so far, we want him through the middle. And because there are no guarantees about that at the moment, I would prefer to leave it for a few weeks and then look at it again in game week 8. Mm. And if he's played 3 games through the middle there and he's ticking along, then I'd be happy to move then. Madison's just a really good pick, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's just delivering week in, week out. You know what he's going to play. Even when Spurs play badly, which might not be that often this season, they're looking great. But when they do, he's the kind of player who's going to be central to something that they do.
Yeah.
He's going to release a counter-attack and get an assist. He's going to do a set piece or something like that. So, I still think I'd put Madison a little bit ahead. But that's only because of the uncertainty over Son's role. If he's playing through the middle all the time, probably elevate him up above Madison.
Right? Yeah, definitely. I mean, I went for Madison game week one, but it wasn't like my game week one choice, you know, all throughout the summer. And it was mainly, I think it was Jesus's injury. It was something around that. And I just realized I could spend a tiny bit more in midfield. So I went up from like a Mbeumo or Mitoma and went up to him. So ultimately it probably hasn't actually made me much points because I've probably missed out on Mbeumo's points for that. But nevertheless, I'm very happy.
I'm very happy
with him because I did think he would just be central. Like with Kane last year, if Spurs play badly, I know that Kane will play well. And even if Spurs, which they're not, they're really good this season as an attacking unit. But even if they did, I knew that Madison would get me something, you know, with those free kicks or just unleash a great goal from somewhere. I'm going to skip Antony and we'll move to Saka. So Saka's goal potential, that we know about, should be still on penalties, but he's had 17 corners, 14 chances created, 2 goals. I mean, 17 corners is huge. The same as Pascal Gross. So that's pretty good. 2 goals so far, 8 successful crosses. So he's good at crossing. He's got the goals. You know, he should be on penalties. I think Arsenal were awarded a penalty last. No, sorry. They were awarded a penalty. Then it was overturned by VAR. Odegaard was holding it, which your heart was probably in your mouth then as someone who just removed him. Huge haul here. But my feeling is that because he's the captain, he would have held it anyway and passed it to the player taking the penalty. Is that your feeling? Or just being a desperate Saka owner?
I don't know. I thought if they were going to get a penalty in that game, Odegaard was going to take it because of how well he was playing, how confident he looked. Right. He had got the goal already early in the game. And I was thinking as a very scared seller that this could come back and really burn me because if he would have scored another, it would have been a huge haul. That was my feeling. It's not based on me knowing. I've got no idea what he could have held the ball to the last minute to take the pressure off Saka, who scored the last one. Yeah. He did it. And maybe it was just the fact that I'd sold him that I felt more inclined to say Odegaard was going to take it.
Yeah.
Just because I was really thinking about it a lot during that game.
Yeah.
But Saka's still a nice pick. I mean, he got the assist in the corner for Rice's winner, didn't he, for the second goal. He missed a really good chance of his own as well, didn't he, when he just put it straight at Onana. If that would have gone in, then you're talking double digits for Saka. So I think he's a good pick still. He's still, I think it's really close between him and Odegaard, but I still think with the fact that he's taken a couple of penalties and Odegaard's just taken the one or two of the last three Saka's taken, maybe just a little bit ahead, but both nice picks.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy to keep Saka. I know the fixtures aren't great, but that's why I moved Martinelli because I didn't fancy double Arsenal. I think Saka's the best one. Next name, Trippier, last name on this list, Trippier. This is very similar stats to last season. So 10 chances created, that is great. 13 corners, great. That's what you want on this table. No goals, 10 successful crosses, brilliant. He's great at crossing and he's got the likes of Isak and Wilson there. So, and attacking midfielders. So this is all good. But then you look at the expected assists delta. This is what he should have got. So no assists there. And they feel he should have got over 4 games about half an assist. So he's not. So considering Enzo Fernandez is on well over one assist above what he got, which is nothing. And same with Pascal Gross, should have got an assist, you know, at least an assist. Trippier's way down. And this is what he was last season. Sometimes when he hadn't assisted for a long time, because once you get more than one assist, you're off this table in a good way. He didn't appear on this table because the expected stats felt that they weren't big enough chances for whatever reason. And so it's interesting to see him on air. It's the start of us being interested in him, though, isn't it? They have Brentford, but then they have very good fixtures after that next. So Trippier, I've got in the back of my mind, I might get him. So I've got a bit of money in the bank. Diaz to Trippier, something like that. But I want to see a bit more. I want to see these strong stats translating to what they did for a lot of last season in like huge returns, huge bonus points, you know, massive returns. So I don't know. Are you tempted by Trippier soon?
I've kind of been looking at him. I've got a few concerns, probably a bit like you, Joe. I think that these stats are obviously going to be good for bonus when Newcastle keep a clean sheet.
Yeah.
He doesn't necessarily have to get an assist because he's creating that many chances. Mm. They don't take into account the quality of the chances. Yeah. Did he create a chance? Yes, good for bonus. So that's really good. So if Newcastle keep a clean sheet, I think like last year, you know, whenever they did bonus, but Trippier was getting two or three bonus depending on the scoreline, even if he didn't get an assist. So that's really good. They haven't kept a clean sheet yet, Newcastle, have they? But they've had a really tough run.
Yeah.
And they haven't conceded many big chances in that. So I think they're still okay defensively.
Yeah.
It's just the Champions League, which is a bit of a concern for me, which starts after game week 5.
Yeah.
They've got to play AC Milan first. Then they've got to play PSG. These are big games. You've got Livramento there, who's been brought in, who's going to play some minutes. And I worry that, is Trippier going to play in those Champions League ones and maybe sit out? I'm not saying he's going to get dropped all the time, but will he sit out one of those really good home fixtures, which you want him for? Because you'll be gutted if he does, because that's what we're bringing him in for.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm thinking it through, but I am kind of, that my last thought was that maybe Fabian Schär or Schär would be better at 5 million, because he's appeared on these tables, the goal threat ones, quite a bit before. You know, he is a threat from set pieces. Mm-hmm. And Botman, if he was fit, then he's the cheaper one. He's the 4.5 million route into that defence. So I'm thinking, do I need to spend 6.5 on Trippier?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure I do at the moment, but I don't think I'm going to make the move before Brentford.
Okay.
So I think it will be game week 6 if I do. So I've got a bit longer to monitor it, see what happens in that Champions League game, and then decide.
Yeah, definitely. I do have, we've got a lot of questions already in the chat about Newcastle assets. We'll come to those in a bit. So what we're going to do now is we'll look at our team, just see how we got on in game week 4, just briefly, and just to get our early thoughts of what we're going to do. There's no point us putting game week 5 team up, because it's just going to change. Depending on injuries, and our thoughts will probably change as well during the week as well. We'll do that next week. We'll have goals imminent back in next week. We'll have more stats and we'll have a bit more firmer idea of what we're going to be doing game week 5. So we'll give our early thoughts. A couple of people were asking about, well, actually one person was asking about our ranks on here. We don't do that on this show because it's irrelevant at the moment. The only rank that matters is game week 38. It's also irrelevant because if we got really bad ranks, you might turn on this thing if you don't know us and go, oh my god, look at these guys, they've got awful ranks on here. But if you do want to know our ranks, me and Tom have got 15 top 10k finishes between us, so put that in your pipe and smoke it.
I mean, I don't mind going. I mean, I think I'm about 300k this year,
I'm about 600.
No, but it doesn't. Yeah, but I bet if you look at the points difference between us, I bet it's like 20, maybe even less than that.
Yeah,
it might be 15 or 20 points. It's an Evan Ferguson game week 4,
isn't it? I'm 600K or something. And,
yeah, but it doesn't matter.
I'm an Evan Ferguson hat trick away from being 2.5 million. That's hardly anything. That's what, 17 points, but massive. So
people put their ranks on the screen at this stage of the season. I don't really see them. It's the kind of thing which, fair enough, some people, they hear us talking and they probably want to think, do they know what they're talking about? Mm. Not always, no, but most of the time, hopefully, I can offer something good. But ranks and stuff, maybe kind of once you get to 10, 12, I don't know, but this show hasn't really been about that.
No.
It's more about discussing the players rather than focusing much on our own team.
We put them on, people like to see what teams we're doing, and you know, it gives us a chance to have a chat about, you know, players we're considering. Rowan asked how many top 10k finishes have we got in the last 4 years. I got one last year, Rowan, so Put that in your pipe and smoke it as well. Okay, Kamsi's just joined us in the live chat. Welcome, welcome. And so put your questions in the live chat. We'll go have a look at Tom's team. Tom, how did you get on in game week 4?
So weak. I got 73 points, I think. If you can see it up on the screen now, I won't go through it all, but I got Udogie's assist at the back. Saka got the assist. Mbeumo got the late goal. Rashford got the goal. And Haaland obviously went crazy at the Etihad. A few points on the bench through Archer, but I was never really going to play Archer. And I'm just happy to have him there, to be honest, in case I need him now. I've probably got the best 4.5 in the game, well, easily the best 4.5 in the game now.
Yeah.
He's ready to come in if need be.
Yeah, I know. Just see that 12 points there, and he's 4.5. Mm. Ooh, I'm getting Kane 4.5 tingles with Archer. That's amazing.
Yeah, he's going to play. He's going to be. He played with McBurnie at the weekend, didn't he? And he'll do okay there, I think. And he'll tick along. And if you need him for those good home games like the Everton one was, he's there, and it's quite nice to know that.
Yeah.
I suppose Sterling was the one which disappointed me, but. Mm. I mean, people say, oh, you're just reacting to the Luton game. Well, yeah, a little bit. But I actually wrote a report on the West Ham game before that, and I actually talked about him a lot in that. I thought he showed in that game, despite the loss, that there were encouraging signs from that. And we are dealing at the moment with, look, we haven't got much to go on. We go on what we can see in two or three games, and that's it. And then you make a decision. Mm. And it was kind of between... It was really between kind of him and Madison, I suppose.
Yeah. Or Foden.
And I did look at Foden. Mm-hmm. I wasn't quite as high on him as I was the other two. And it didn't pay off, but this isn't a one game week move. This is Sterling will probably stay now for the next 4 game weeks. So let's have a look at it after that point. You know, he's got good fixtures still, and Sterling could quite easily outscore Madison over the next 2-3 game weeks. So it's Madison could obviously keep ticking along too, but I'm not going to be too harsh on myself for that decision until we've let it run out, and then we'll have a look at it then.
Once again, great team. You got Mbeumo, which I don't have, which I feel silly for. but nevertheless, I've got no. I'll put my team up in a set, but I've got no one I want to move for him. Possibly Sterling, but no. I had the same thought process with you with Sterling. I thought he has been good so far this season without perhaps getting the returns. He did get those returns, but I didn't get him for those returns. I got him. Because he's got good fixtures and he seemed like the one to get. And I did, as I've said earlier, I'm not keen on Jackson at all because I don't know. But Sterling has that FPL pedigree. So we know that if he can turn it on, then he can really turn it on and he can get some huge hauls, which he has done. So I think he's a good pick. Yeah, it was between Sterling and Foden for me. But Sterling just got the edge. I've got a bit more points with Foden. Obviously, Haaland, great. Archer, I mean, I put a thing up on social media about Archer saying who actually fielded him. And got quite a few people saying they did. It didn't cross my mind. Maybe a flicker, faint flicker across my mind as I was preparing for game week 4. So very well done, those that did, because they backed him to play and they backed him to do well. He's first sub for me now. Possibly I might field him. I mean, against anyone, he can score. I think he can nick a goal. If you're looking to wildcard now and you're looking to set up a sort of 3-5-2, 4-4-2 something structure, Archer's hands down the best, because it's rare we get a 4.5 starting striker who's actually good as well. What's your early thoughts for next week? Just hold or?
No, I've got 2 free transfers. Ooh. So, and I've got 1.3 million in the bank after selling Odegaard for Sterling last week. So there's a bit of flexibility there. I suppose I haven't really started looking at specific players. What I've been looking at is fixture swings just over the next few weeks and the teams which I want to be moving towards. So game week 6 is when Newcastle's fixtures turn and Man United's gets really good then as well. And I've already got 3 United.
Yeah.
So finding a way into maybe a Newcastle defender, or if I want to take a punt on an attacker, game week 6. Game week 8, a bit further down the line, is when Villa and Tottenham's fixtures really get better. When Arsenal's turn for the worse. And then I think in game week 9, Liverpool's get good and Chelsea's are bad, but I might wild card around about then. So I'm just kind of looking at fixture swings, getting an idea of who I could possibly bring out. So like in game week 8, for instance, I think I could take out Saliba and Saka, and then maybe move for somebody like Alex Moreno if he's fit, and a Madison or something like that. So yeah, not really. I mean, with two free transfers, I was a bit worried about Onana with United, with the injuries at the back that they've got at the moment, with Varane, Martinez limped off at the weekend, Luke Shaw's out, Lindelof came out too. Now, I think that was just illness, but that set the alarm bells ringing a little bit. And I did kind of think you could move to Nick Pope in goal, but it's a lot of money to spend on the Newcastle defence. But with Champions League, he might be the best because he's going to play every game, isn't he? And so I did have that kind of cross through my mind. Fabian shared it as well. But yeah, I'm not. I don't know what I would do. No Spurs at home against Sheffield United is maybe a bit of a concern.
Yeah. But it's like who I mean, yeah, exactly. It's a great sign. I mean, Gehi is doing well for Palace. Chilwell. I mean, I know they didn't do so well this week, but Chilwell, he's not a remove.
I'm not selling
a doggy. No. He's not a remove. A Stupinan. You got. I guess maybe Saliba could go.
I don't mind the Everton fixture, but yeah, he could. A Stupinan, I'm tempted. I kept him last week, and I think I got Bournemouth in game week 6, so I'm tempted to hold him now. And Brighton's fixtures get really good in 10, and he's at the price where you can kind of just leave him there. I mean, he was close to a clean sheet on Saturday, wasn't he, against Newcastle? So he's playable in some of those tougher games. But yeah, maybe Gay, he could go. I mean, Palace, I really wanted to. I brought him in for these type of fixtures on Sunday at home against Wolves.
Yeah.
And I really needed a clean sheet from them. And they've conceded two. So maybe I could move him on to a Newcastle defender.
Odin, not the Odin, I think, in the live chat said, well, I hope not. Well, it could be. Hello, sir, if it is. Wolves just scored twice. Could be deadly on counter-attack against Liverpool and playing Luton afterwards. Wolves are actually. So we mentioned in the goals and assists imminent. Kuna, for example, could be a handy little enabler there. But it's tricky at the moment because there's so many players. Because without spending money on these premiums, we can have loads of good players. And I mean, your team here. So I'll just remind people listening again. You've got Gehi, Chilwell, Adoghi. And then you've got Saka, Sterling and Bomo, Fernandez, Rashford, Jackson and Haaland up front, Archer on the bench, Onana as well there, and Estupinan and Saliba. So lots of players there, lots of choice, lots of good players, lots of tough choices and two free transfers. It's hard to use them this season, but clearly people can't wait to use them at the beginning of the international break. Let's have a look at my team. Remember, keep those questions coming in the live chat. We'll address those in a sec. So last week I had Onana, and I was going to play Turner, but I had cold feet on that one. And Turner got 5 points, Onana nothing. Diaz, he's a new recruit since I was last on the show. Chilwell. I've decided to field Henry over Estupinan, which cost me a point. But I still, you know, apart from... I still think that was good. I thought Newcastle would score. I didn't think it would leave it so late. But I did back the Brentford defence there, so I'm okay with that. Madison, 7 points, usual there. Rashford, 7 points. That's starting to be usual, hopefully. Fernandes, blank. Saka and Sterling, blank. So Saka got me some points. Ferguson obviously got me 17 points, which was the difference between an awful game week and an okay one. Haaland captain as usual, and Archer on the bench. Bayer as well at Burnley. I'm pleased to see that he's back. Only a minus one, but tough game. So my early thoughts for next week is to hold. Ferguson is injured at the moment on international duty. He was walking fine. He was certainly walking quite happily, carrying the match ball with him after the Newcastle game, but it was an injury to his knee was picked up by the Ireland's international medical team, so he's been sent back. See, that could be a very, very minor thing, enough to keep him out of the internationals, and he could be back all fine against Manchester United. Welbeck, as far as we know, is still injured but might be back. Ferguson might not be risked. So there is a risk that Ferguson won't play. I will take 20 or 30 minutes of Ferguson against Manchester United, especially if Harry Maguire comes on last 30 minutes. So I'm happy with that. But I will be keeping a close eye on the team news next week on that one. It won't be me, by the way. It'll be David, I think, because I'm off that day for that day for the team news. But so I would probably, I might just field Archer if Ferguson's definitely out. If Ferguson's out for a long time, I've got the money to just upgrade him to Alvarez. But I think Alvarez is playing, as I said, like practically on the moon or something in Bolivia. So it's quite high altitude. I'm not sure. Someone may remind me in the live chat about that. So I'm not sure. So there's lots up in the air there, but pretty happy. Estupiñán will play over Henry, by the way. And I'm going to play Turner over Onana because I fancy the Brighton attack.
Are you going to play Estupiñán, are you?
Yeah, I'm going to play Estupiñán for attacking returns. And if he gets a clean sheet, great. But mainly for attacking returns. I see him more as a winger for this type of game. Turner over Onana. I just think there's going to be goals in there.
I think we're probably right. Yeah. I think just going back to your Alvarez point, Argentina play Ecuador.
Oh, right.
And then they go to Bolivia.
That's it.
On Tuesday the 12th of September, which says 9 o'clock here, which I presume is
okay
to you.
Okay, so and it's away to West Ham. It's not a fixture. It's not like a home game against Fulham. So I don't know if it's a sort of get Alvarez in type game. So I think I'd like to just hold. I feel the bench is enough there. I feel with Henry and Archer and Bayer on the bench, I think there's enough there to cover me. It's very rare you get down to three subs, especially this time of the season. We have had some questions in the live chat, which is great. So let's have a look. I'll scroll up and see any questions there. So lots of questions earlier about Wilson. Nevis, thoughts on a Wilson punt? Nevis, very, very interested to know what we think there. I think he's a really good punt. I think if I was to make any move, I haven't even looked at his price. I presume he started
Wilson.
Yeah, I presume he started at 8.
7.8 now.
He's 7.8 now. So it would be two moves for me, but I can easily do that in two moves. And it would depend on Ferguson. I mean, I don't really want to get rid of any of my strikers at the moment, but say Ferguson is injured. Wilson interests me, and he interests me because he's bang on it. He's a goal scorer. He's got that FPL pedigree, plays for an attacking side with Champions League. I feel especially that group. I can't see anyone but Isak starting in the Champions League in those matches because they're tough. Brighton's ones are tough as well in Champions. I thought it was a Champions League. I thought we'd been elevated to the Champions League when I saw them playing Ajax and Marseille. But Newcastle, they've taken it another level. They've got a really tough group. They've got the toughest group. So I think Isak will play. I think Wilson will get minutes, a significant minutes around that time. I think he will be the player that is going to score a hat-trick, that type of player. He's going to haul, I think. I don't know, where are you?
I mean, it carries risk, doesn't it? Because they've been Isak's been the preferred starter so far, but Wilson has been eating into his game time. You know, he's been coming on 70 minutes or so, around about, a bit earlier than that in some cases, I think. But yeah, Isak feels like the first choice for the chat. So you would expect him to play AC Milan. You'd expect him to play PSG. And if he's doing that, then Wilson, he's probably going to start most of the Premier League games in and around that.
Yeah.
They've also got a League Cup game against Manchester City thrown in the middle of this nice fixture. And so they've got some really big cup games. I mean, I would probably ask the Newcastle fans, which... like Neil in the office and Mark and things like that. And if they're confident that Wilson's going to get enough minutes, I think he's a great pick because we saw what he could do at the tail end of last year, didn't we?
Yeah.
Off limited minutes as well. So if he is starting those games against Sheffield United, against Burnley, brilliant pick.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think he's great. I think he's like, I might even do that because I might end up saving a transfer and then the following week. So Newcastle have... obviously, Brentford next game, week 5. But then Sheffield United away, Burnley at home, and West Ham away. West Ham away. That's Wilson's game. Doesn't he always get a hat trick against them?
Okay. He did very well against them. He's spoken about, Eddie Howe spoke about it before, about why he started with Wilson. He actually said, because he loves to play West Ham.
Okay.
So that, I think we're all kind of thinking, well, that could be something which comes off because we know what he can do. But it carries risk, sure, because Isak could, we don't know what Howe's got planned. He could choose to play Wilson. He might think against AC Milan or PSG, that's a game for Wilson. So it's hard. But if he does get the minutes in the Premier League, I'm sure he'll do well.
Well, I mean, for me, as a Ferguson owner, for example, Brighton have Manchester United and Bournemouth, a couple of easy defences. And then Aston Villa, that's tough, away. And then Liverpool.
I wonder what you're going to say.
No, I was going to be in complimentary. Aston Villa, that's a tough game. Going to Aston Villa and then Liverpool away there. Sorry, it's at home. It's away. And then at home to Liverpool there. I mean, I would expect that to be certainly tougher than the game Brighton won quite easily last season. So I think that would be tougher. Mm. That, for me, could be a Ferguson to Wilson move there. Yeah. Or possibly an Archer one. I don't know. I mean, the more I'm talking about it now, the more I'm getting all Wilson-y.
And the good thing is... if you were to make that move in game week 6, we'll have seen the first Champions League game against AC Milan. If Isak's completed the 90 minutes in that and Wilson's got 10 off the bench and come on for one of the wingers or something like that, that might give you that bit more confidence then to make that move. You'll have that much more information. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, so fans are making early transfers and price rises. He plays Sheffield United in game week 6. If he does start and haul in that game, he will be that week's Son, that week's Sterling. You know, he'll be the player that everyone want to get in, including me. So don't get him in early. I want his price to stay low. Okay. Let's have a look at some more questions there. Spurs... something not complimentary about Eze being a bit like Zaha. keep doing down. Just popped in to congratulate Joe on the Evans Ferguson pick. Well, don't congratulate me yet because he's injured and I've already talked about lots of other strikers. Got the points. I'll take them a run. That's from Camsey. Michael Brooker. He's just looking forward to me getting a Brighton Europa League shirt. I'm 51, so it's not the... whilst people in their 50s think it's a good look wearing a football shirt that are designed for 20-year-olds, it's not a good look.
I buy them all, but I buy them for my son. I buy them for my son, so I still get to buy them. I still get to get the Abbey on the back of the shirt, but I give them to him.
Exactly. Right, okay. Right, we're starting to get some more questions now. So, play Isak or Mbeumo in the next fixture, says Charlie. So he's got that choice there. They play each other. That's tough, isn't it? Surely there's someone else to bench. I'm just playing both.
Yeah. I would try and play them both for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Look at the international minutes. I presume Isak's away with Sweden. I'd find it hard to bench Mbeumo at the moment, to be honest, because he's just like that... That game, you could see Brentford causing problems on the counter attack with Wissa and Sade and players like that, and you know the pace.
Yeah.
After watching the Brighton Newcastle game at the weekend, I'd maybe edge towards him because he's going to be a 90-minute man as well on Bomo. Whereas Isak, even if he starts that game, will probably get 70. I think they're both good picks, though, like you say. So maybe try and find a way to start them both.
Yeah, I mean, Bomo, I'm scared as a non-owner. See that turn he did for his goal? It was incredible. Yeah. It was really skillful. I've slowed it down a bit and it was still really skillful. Jam Rubes asks, Szoboszlai is a name never mentioned. It's because people can't pronounce it, but he's
he was in the differential picks on Scout in game week 2.
There we go.
We like him a lot.
Yeah, Jam Rubes backs that up, backs up the fact you mentioned him by saying, I've just said that I've been kind to Jam Rubes. Tom mentioned him earlier. He plays 90 minutes, 2 returns already, only 4 points less than Salah. Liverpool, good run of fixtures. And he thought, well, we've already given it. Tom has already backed him.
I like him, he's an absolutely brilliant player. Now, I don't know if sometimes brilliant players, it doesn't always translate into FPL points. Mm-hmm. But I think he's gonna tick along okay there. I don't think he's going to be explosive like maybe Luis Diaz would be or Jota would be. Jota, because... they can go and get 2-3 goals in a game. I don't think he's going to be that. I think he might get an assist, he might get a goal, then he might blank in a week. But he's such a great player, and you're getting a nailed player there, which you don't get in anybody else apart from Salah, who's worth buying. So, yeah, I actually looked at him a bit last week and thought that he could be somebody I consider. I think he's 7 million, isn't he?
Yeah. So, I mean, I could consider him in game week 9. So game week 9's when... Yeah, are probably wild cards, or I'll certainly want to invest in Liverpool. And if Salah doesn't leave the Premier League and he's still there, I'll be faced with a choice. Do I invest a lot in Salah? And I have not done that before. Last season, it was fine, although we had Harry Kane. So I'll probably want to go there. But if I decided not to, Szoboszlai and or Darwin or Jota or Diaz is a decision to be made, I think, is to get a couple of good Liverpool assets in who could both do well.
I think if Salah is there in game week 9,
yeah,
I think he'll be popular, because I think there's a run of games there where you can actually back him over Haaland. I'm just looking, you know, in game week 10, it's dangerous backing against Haaland, but he goes to Man United and Liverpool have got Forest at home. And that might be something where you think, well, yeah, I could. So I always think with Salah, are you going to captain him? And that dictates whether it's worth the outlay. But if there's 2 or 3 game weeks where you will say, I'm going to back Salah over Haaland, then we can do 2 premiums. I mean, we've done for years and years before this. People have been doing 3 but 2 premiums is, you can manoeuvre your squad to do that, as providing that you captain both players. And you might do that in game week 9.
Donny Kong asks, is Trippier assist imminent? We have already covered that, so do scroll back. We cover that in the assist imminent section. The simple answer to that is probably not at the moment. His expected assist stats are not good, but he is getting a hell of a lot of chances. So if they keep a clean sheet, his bonus potential is huge. Yeah, he's still a good asset, even if his assist isn't imminent. John Cahill asks, is Villa's defence one to target for attackers now? It's a bit harsh, isn't it? I think they're still pretty good.
Well, at home, we've been really good, but we play this high line. And so when you come up against good attacks, the problem... It's not the problem playing the high line. It's that Liverpool at the weekend, we didn't put any pressure on the ball player. So Alexander Arnold had the ball and just was able to ping these balls over the top for Darwin and Salah. And it was just naive defending. Mm. And it was the same way against Newcastle in game week 1. Mm. So in those away games, if we're going to persist with this high line and we're going to stick with it, and you've got quick, pacey players and good enough passes of the ball to go over the top, then our defence looks a little bit vulnerable in those games.
Okay.
Well, it does. But at home, we've been very, very good recently.
Yeah.
For quite a long way, stretching back to last year. Maybe I'm kind of looking at our defence and thinking, well, Nicholas Jackson in game week 6, you know, that might not be such a bad fixture for him, players like him and Sterling.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't think we're a bad defence, but I think that it doesn't look great for us when we go to Newcastle and Liverpool and get absolutely hammered. It's a hard one to call, because Everton and Burnley before that, we were great defensively. But against those top tier attacks... Maybe there's a bit of a worry there.
Lilas asks if we consider doing expected goal involvement delta, which is what people should have got overall, to see who's most imminent. That's not really the point of this show. This is to look at under the radar ones. So the stats we're focusing on is it's if someone scored more than a goal, if they scored 2 goals or more over 4 game weeks, then everyone knows they're good. You know, you can look at their stats, and there's plenty of content on Fantasy Football Scout. I know the Scoutcast in particular do quite a lot on the sort of under and over performers overall, but what we're trying to do is to look at those sort of under the radar options, you know, the Wolves strikers, those types of ones, the ones that people aren't talking about, and that's the point of us. So I hope that answers that, Lilas. Just room for a couple more if I can find them. That is out. This is terrible radio for the podcast listeners, me going through. I think that's it, really. I think I've answered all of those. A lot of them are the same sort of questions. I'm going to end with Odin, the Lord God of Valhalla. What do you guys think of triple Newcastle defence from game week 6, considering all the rotation risk around Champions League. I think that's a good point, because a lot of the sort of the sort of analytics teams I'm already seeing for coming up the period, they're starting to move towards a double or triple Newcastle defence, because they do think there's going to be rotation up front. They back Newcastle's top four side, Champions League side, and good Premier League fixtures. Trippier and a Botman doesn't. In fact, I did that last season and I benched one of them, just hedging my bets a bit. But I think triple's a bridge too far. I assume you probably wouldn't go for triple Newcastle defence.
Not personally, no. I don't mind the double. I think the key to the double could be Botman. I don't know if I'd want to go for somebody like Trippier and Cher, but if you can get a 4.5 route in, hoping maybe one of the defenders could work. But, you know, triple, that's... I mean, Newcastle have kept two clean sheets in the last 22 games. Mm-hmm. So do you want a triple on? Yes, I think they've been better than those that stat suggests, for sure. I think they've been a bit unlucky, and I can remember last time, numerous times where they conceded the odd goal. But for instance, if you've got triple and you go in game week 8 and Newcastle are going to West Ham, that could be a bit of a problem there, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, even if Newcastle are amazing, even if West Ham are terrible, Ward-Prowse free kick, gone, 90th minute, clean sheet, wipe out.
West Ham have started pretty well, haven't they? They've got this Ward-Prowse, they've got Bowen, Antonio's done okay. It depends what your wild card strategy is and thing is. If you're playing a game week 9 wild card and you're thinking, I'm just going to get on it and then get out of it, high risk, high reward, isn't it? I don't think I've done a triple up before. I've done double ups on loads of teams. It's a tactic I like, but triple up, I'd have to be pretty confident of that defence that they were going to get two or three clean sheets in that run.
I think I've worked out in the live chat why Abdullah earlier was asking everyone's ranks and our ranks, because it appears he's got a rank of 23K, which is very good. come back to us in game week 38, though, for that.
That's a good start, though. So
he's very keen on asking everyone in the live chat, what did you get, guys? What did you get? Is 23K any good? Yes, it is really good. But maybe not in game week 38, though.
It's the international break. We'll let you off. So there's not much to talk about now. But a good start.
Yeah, congratulations.
But don't be concerned if that's a 100 and something K next week. It will fluctuate a bit. But you put yourself in a good position now, even if that happens, to be able to kick on. And if you make good decisions, look at fixture swings. You've got a chance to have a very good season.
To illustrate how game week 38's rank is important, I think it was FPL Focal pointed out that at this stage last season, FPL Guns was 1.2 millionth in the world. And he, of course, finished one. He was the winner. So if you're, 2 million, 1 million, whatever, you could still win it. Not too late. Thanks so much for that, Tom. We're back next week. Hopefully... you'll have a bright, shiny new mic. Hopefully I'll have fixed whatever happened to my mic and all will be well. Do stay tuned to Fantasy Football Scout. Do subscribe to all the videos. Do press that like button as well. That does help us. And also have a look at the membership options there. Really good stuff. This is where we get a lot of our data from. So because we're members, we work there. So we get to mine all that information and present it to you. But there's plenty more there. Do have a look at that. Lots more content coming during the international break. And then next week it steps up with a bit of game week 5 preparation in earnest. Thanks everyone for joining us. Take care. Good luck with game week 5 and see you next week for some more game week 5 prep. See you later.
Thanks, Jai.